Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, good afternoon. We're broadcasting live this afternoon from downtown Laurel. Absolutely gorgeous day in this beautiful city. Bob Getty, excuse me, along with Luke Johnson. And we've even got Will Tony with us here today. So we've got the full Laurel crew, special Jones County Economic Development remote. We've been involved in that all day. Sponsored by the Jones County Board of Supervisors, Jones College, Howard Industries, Health Fighters USA, South Central Regional Medical Center. Glad to be in your hometown, Luke. It just couldn't be prettier down here.
Absolutely. We're out here on the yard beside Laurel Mercantile. It's see all the tourists coming through right across from the historic train depot. Amtrak ran through here just a few minutes ago and saw some people. I think they just got dropped off in the city. Beautiful. Right.
We've never done a remote here. We didn't see a train come through.
Absolutely.
Daniel Stewart's not with us. He is on the campus of Southern Methodist University. Brings back memories of Bobby Collins, but he joins us. He joins us every Tuesday. And Daniel, thanks, man, for taking time out there in Texas to talk to us.
Yeah, glad to do it. I'm very careful mentioning Southern Miss out here for sure.
Yeah, put Bobby's name around a little bit while you're there. All right, so you're our go-to guy every Tuesday. We really do appreciate your input. Later in the show, we're going to run an interview we did Sunday afternoon with Billy Odom, who now appears to be the Friday night starter. I want to get your thoughts about what makes Billy Odom so effective. And to follow up on a question that Luke asked Oz yesterday, which I thought was a really good one, and that is it unusual to be this late in the season and still trying to figure out who's pitching in certain spots? So you take it away, Daniel.
Yeah, I think so. And it's a little breezy out here as well, so if you guys hear some wind, I apologize. But I definitely do think that it is unusual to not really know who your guys are at this point. Injuries can sometimes dictate some changes and, maybe who's hot, who's not, but to have your whole rotation kind of flip-flop in this part of the season is definitely not something that happens a lot. But at the same time, you got to say, well, where we are in the season, we've got to start, continuing to win these conference weekends. Who's going to get us there? And Coach Oz, I think, is in a difficult situation trying to figure that out right now. And fortunately, like you said, Billy Odom, coming off a rough weekend, I think last week was an anomaly, but nice to get that first, I think, complete game of the season, albeit by a run rule, but definitely nice to see him doing so well on Friday night.
Yeah, Daniel, I think, with Middleton starting tonight, we haven't had this at Southern Miss for quite some time, but you saw what happened Saturday, Colby Allen, like a reliever starting, and then allow, a guy who could probably go longer than a reliever to get into the middle of the game. And, that may be some of the thoughts tonight, but it is kind of the opposite approach, and I think just Oz has had to do it, but that we've seen at Southern Miss in several years, because we've had Stanleys and Powells and Sandlins and Halls, that a plethora of those guys that work deep into games.
Yeah, you're right. Those names that we've come to know so well, I think we still have a couple. Billy Odom, Nico Mazza, for that matter, I think is one as well. But we don't really have though that shutdown guy that we know is going to give us a W every single time. Billy, I think, is probably the closest we've got to that right now. But You know, seeing Middleton start tonight, it kind of makes you question, you know, hey, what really is going on? I think it's probably, though, getting him some innings because he seems to have had some short-lived appearances lately. So maybe give him a chance to get out there, get in the groove, and try to get some things going.
Yeah, I mean, it has been the last several years. The pitching staff that's carried this team, and we look at what the offense has done. I mean, what apart from Sunday, in the last six or seven games, you scored more than five. Most games, you scored more than eight. I think a real huge piece of that this past weekend is Tucker Stockman has apparently seized control of that catching position, and he's become a deep threat in a position that, other than Brad Wilcutt, you know, usually doesn't carry you.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a name I'm very familiar with, Brad Wilcutt. He was a catcher back in my day. Definitely could handle his behind the plate and at the plate. So, but, yeah, you know, Tucker Stockman is one of those guys. We saw an early home run, showed a little pop, still put Odom back there some, and kind of wondered what the situation was going to be at catcher. But I think Stockman has now separated himself with maybe he's got five home runs on the year. I think I saw somewhere he batted, you know, 350 or so the last few games. So he's emerged as the guy, and it's really, really good to see him doing so well and have that catcher position that we can know that, hey, when he's behind the plate, he's going to do well, and when he comes to the plate, he's got a chance to put some runs on the board.
So let me ask both you guys this, you and Luke. I agree with you. I think we've finally seen who has stepped up and taken the spot at catcher. Is it the same thing at first base? I mean, have we found the guy that's going to be the first baseman? First to you, Daniel.
Well, you know, just when I thought we had figured it out with Gillespie at first, Russo comes in, smacks a few home runs, and now is hot. Got some things switched around again. So I think Coach Ostrander wants Russo to be that guy at first base. And as long as he continues to hit the ball well, I think he's going to be at first base.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's you either have Tucker in the lineup, or you lose either Gillespie, Butler, or Wilkes. And so if Broadus can at the bottom of the lineup give you just enough production to be there, what you're doing is it's allowing Monastir to stay at second, and it's allowing your outfield to be Butler, Wilkes, and Pato. The unfortunate part of it, McIntyre isn't there. So for me, Russo occupying first base is more of a result of the injury to McIntyre, but it does allow more pop in the lineup, Daniel.
Yeah, it definitely does. You know, Russo's a big boy, big kid. We know he's got some pop, so seeing him put a few over the fence is really a welcome sign because I know we started the year off so slow.
Speaking of Dalton McIntyre, we're all hoping to see him back this weekend. Oz confirmed he will not play tonight, but Daniel, how important is it to get Dalton McIntyre back in that lineup?
It's really important. You know, he has been the spark plug to this offense. We've obviously seen, you know, hit a home run, maybe two, I think. But his strength is putting pressure on the defenses by putting the ball in play and making things happen. So, you know, I think he's still batting above 400. So him at the top of our lineup kind of sets the tone for the rest of the team, putting everybody in good positions to be productive.
Daniel, two, obviously because they're the next on the schedule, but the two biggest weekends of the year at Louisiana, Coastal at home. I think we'll learn a lot about this team. It's a difficult nut to crack because there's talent on this team, even though with some of the new pieces, there is a lot of experience on this team. It's just what's your, you know, thoughts or answer or just another question with the macro and micro inconsistency that we've seen? You would feel incredible if you went 4-2 over the next two weekends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think so. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of the teams that we play circling Southern Miss. Well, I think Southern Miss has circled ULL and circled Coastal Carolina. So I know our guys mentally are going to be prepared for this weekend to know, number one, you're getting some really good competition, so you've got to play well. And whoever wins these series is going to be at the top of the Sun Belt when it's all said and done. So really, really some two important weekends, the most important weekends we've got coming up.
I'm sure that the team will be warmly received in Lafayette this weekend and treated with kid gloves by the fan base there, Daniel, don't you think?
Yeah. No love lost between us and ULL. I even saw something there, I don't know if it's real or fake, and Luke, you may have seen it, but they were having a Danny Lynch night, $2.60 yeah. admission, not, you know, Lynch jerseys. I don't know if that's real or not. I thought it was
that's
hilarious.
That's really our funny. Good friend Cloverleaf Mall on Twitter.
Cloverleaf Mall, comes up, yes.
Yeah, he's the one that did it. Yeah, $2.60 entrance, Danny Lynch appreciation night. I mean, Creel talked to us about in recruiting, they have an apartment in Atlanta. Danny Lynch basically owns the whole parish down there. So we are thankful he'll be on the bus going this weekend.
They love Danny and Lafayette, don't they?
Absolutely.
Hey, Daniel, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Look forward to having you back in the studio with us next Tuesday. Safe travels to you, our friend.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks, guys.
All right, Daniel Stewart, everybody, and we really appreciate his input, Luke.
J.B. Middleton starting tonight, and I look at that as –
what does that mean?
I looked at that like what Oz did Saturday. I mean, it is a midweek. I think for Oz, it's not giving up runs at the first part of the game, not giving holes, and it allows J.B. to throw his midweek, and I would expect to see him two innings if they're short innings, maybe a third inning. But I think we'll see Josh Ock tonight. Probably see some Sibley tonight, some of those midweek arms. But I think it's a challenge to Middleton. I mean, everybody knows he has the stuff. Go out and give us two or three really good innings.
And the baby Ock, he looked really good this week.
He looked really good.
All right, we'll be right back. We're going to hear from Carson Pato and Billy Odom next. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road in beautiful downtown Laurel.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. We're at Laurel today, part of the Jones County Economic Development event from Super Talk today, sponsored by the Jones County Supervisors, Jones College, Howard Industries, Hellfighters USA, and South Central Regional Medical Center. Bob Getty, Luke Johnson. Will the Thrill Tony's with us today, so you know it's a special broadcast. First segment, we were talking to Daniel Stewart, and we mentioned Billy Odom, who is now the Friday night starter on the baseball team, and really, I think, has been the most consistent player pitcher on the team this year. Here's what Billy had to say, and then I will get Luke's comments on Billy Odom's season as a Golden Eagle. Okay, Billy Odom on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Great performance Friday night. Do you have to prepare differently Friday, Saturday? Does it matter to you?
No, not too different of a preparation. Got to throw a bullpen one day earlier, and you know, other than that, you know, don't get to see the hitters one time through the order or the game before. I just got to be the first guy to face them.
You've been the most, I think it's fair to say, the most consistent starter on the team this year. Your thoughts about where this team is at compared, say, to the regional champion team you played with last year?
Thank you for that. I'd say we're on pace at the moment. I think the records are the same at this point last year. I feel like this year we have a deeper bullpen, more options than last year. Last year we kind of were down to the same six or seven guys that we kept bringing out. And then when it came to the regional final, I think almost everyone who'd already thrown got back in there, like me and Will, and we had to throw again in the regional. And so I think we have a couple more options than we do this year, so I'm excited about that for the pitching staff.
Did you anticipate continuing as the Friday night guy? Has Coach Oz expressed that to you one way or another?
Yes, sir. Coach Oz, my post-game note, and he wrote, be ready for next Friday. So I don't think we're changing anything yet, and I'm super excited about that. Going to try to hold on to that position as long as I can.
All right, the secret to your success is?
I don't want to give away the secret, but no, I'd say it's probably just throwing strikes. That's what Coach Oz will tell anybody. if you get ahead, you have a better chance of striking guys out. You got to get to two strikes the fastest way possible. So that's when I'm my best is when I'm not walking guys. Like this past start, walked two guys, they both scored, and that was super unfortunate, you know. So if I didn't walk anybody, probably could have got out of there with one run or maybe even no runs. So just filling it up, throwing a lot of strikes, and that's what does it for me usually.
But I know you guys had a rough weekend in Atlanta, but played much better this weekend. How do you flush games like that and just move forward?
Yes, sir. You have to as a pitcher. It's a little tougher as a starter. You got to wait the whole week for another shot. Relievers, you have a bad outing, you can go out the next day or next 2 days and get going again. For me, you know, it took the week to realize, you know, I wasn't worried about any of my stuff. I knew the way that park was playing, it was difficult, and the way they were swinging the bat, you know, just ran into a really good team at the moment, and just was able to flush it over the week and come back out fresh for the next start, and you know, felt like myself again.
Final question: you've clearly become a beloved figure here. Could you have anticipated that when you moved down here?
Nah, I'd say didn't expect this much support, but you know, this community, the fans are so great here. You know, they love everybody, they welcome everybody. So I'm so happy I made the decision to come here.
You like it here, don't you?
Oh, I love it.
We're glad to have you. Continue good luck.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Luke. Billy Odom, in light of the other injuries and situations with the staff, man, the team's going to lean hard on Billy Odom the rest of the season, right?
The pride of Brookfield, Connecticut. And he's the ace. I mean, he's 5-1 right now, 4.13 ERA. The strikeout-to-walk ratio is somewhere, I think, like 59-19. And he's faced the most batters all season. And one of the kind of the stats that I'll look at regarding, you know, the average, they're hitting less than 230 off of him. And so for him, it's exactly what he was telling you about with what Oz says. Billy pumps the strike zone. And the secret to him is that first pitch, that second pitch. If he can get guys down 0-1 or especially 0-2 or 1-2, that just sets up well, because then basically your entire arsenal is in front of you, that changeup that's really good. And then they can play, you know, they can play the statistics, they can play the shift, they can do all those things. So for him, yeah, he doesn't overpower you, but he may be one of the best pitchers. He's not a thrower. I mean, he knows how to pitch, and he knows how to get guys out. And I said it at the first part of the season, you felt with Maza's stuff that, and with Billy's consistency, you had a 1A and a 1B rather than just a number one.
Let me give you a bad analogy. Is Billy Odom to baseball what boxing would be, that a guy is not a knockout puncher, but he's a boxer?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to stay in there. He's going to get his shots in, and over time, I mean, he wears you down. So he's a guy that, you know, oftentimes guys can get batters out first time through the lineup, first time they see the stuff, second time that they see the stuff. Third time, if you can get a guy out, you know, the third time as well, that's when you really have pitch ability. And for Billy, he has the ability to, with the fastball, to locate it, and then what he does with his off-speed pitches, with his curve and with his changeup, I mean, he has the ability to get guys. He can face the order three times and not give up much at all. So he's going to have to step up. I mean, especially these next two Friday nights, if Southern Miss, and I think that's what maybe why the Friday move is, that you know what you're going to get. And if you have a chance to win game one, especially if you can steal game one this weekend, you have a real good chance to win the series at Lafayette.
Well, game one's important Friday night, isn't it?
It is. And so the reason why Nico was game one, I mean, Nico stuff-wise is probably, you know, the best bet that you've got. Just in conference play, he's walked more batters than what we were accustomed to. And so Billy, on the other hand, The strength of Billy being on Saturday was, you can win game one with Nico, and then guess what? You probably have a really awesome chance to win game two. We're at a point now where we need to win game one, and so you throw your most consistent option out there.
I will switch gears. We're going to hold the interview with Carson Pato because of time. We'll have that tomorrow. Ask both you guys this. Will, let me throw this at you. You do the morning show over here. There's two Jones County teams left in the playoffs.
Yes.
I think the strength to a large degree of Southern Miss baseball has been their ability to draw from these powerful and consistently good high school baseball programs.
Right.
And they play really good high school baseball here in Jones County.
Absolutely. And there's a pitcher whose name escapes me from South Jones.
Richardson.
Cole Richardson, who is a Southern Miss signee. And he is one of the finest high school pitchers I've ever seen, and I think there's a very real possibility that he gets some significant playing time as
a
freshman.
Tell me about Cole Richardson, Lou.
He's good. I mean, you'll see his velo get up. He's a high 80s guy.
Yeah.
But he's played high school baseball. He's pitched since he was a freshman, and he's tall. And I think he will be one of those guys. You remember when Storm came in? I remember watching Storm. Justin, if you ever hear this, you'll appreciate what I say at the end. I was like, that dude's 6'7", and he's throwing like 85.
Yeah.
What is the deal? 86. Well, we all know what happened to Justin Storm. But he threw as a true freshman. My point is, I feel like Cole's going to come in next year, and he's going to be throwing 87, 88.
Yeah.
And by the time that, you know, a couple years in the program, he could be mid-90s and from that tall. Here's the other thing. Right now on the team, you talk about Richardson coming in. Lawson Odom, who has started significant games this year.
Good player.
The first pinch runner to always come in the games, Eli Collins from Northeast Jones. So next year, they will be all three county schools here in Jones County will be represented.
Yeah.
And part of that is because you've got two Golden Eagles, you know, as the head coaches with Mason Strickland and then Trey.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot, Luke. Best baseball player to ever come out of Jones County was, or is.
I mean, Fred Cooley's in that conversation.
He is.
Dickerson's in that conversation.
He can't
make
him out.
But a lot of people, you know.
How about your buddy at West Jones, the coach?
Sutton is you would say, probably the best hitter to come out. Darren Welch from West Jones played catcher at Southern Miss, was a starter. You continue with that conversation. I mean, a lot of people don't realize Eli Collins' dad, Michael Collins, played at West Jones, went to Delta State, and he was a Fighting Okra up there. I mean, and there's been people that have come out of Dusty Braddock from Northeast Jones played at Ole Miss, and you've got guys, you know, from South Jones playing that. Fred Cooley might be the most powerful baseball player to ever come out. Dickerson might be the best defensive. Trey might be the best hitter.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of good ones.
Can I tell you that I still miss number 10 something awful?
Yeah, I bet you do.
How I love to see Dustin.
We love Ozzie Pratt. Ozzie Pratt might say, I bring this up about Ozzie because you interviewed Ozzie too. I was telling some guys in the roost the other day, if we weren't spoiled with Dickerson the last 4 years, we would say, dude, 100%. Ozzie Pratt is phenomenal shortstop.
100%.
And he's a phenomenal, but I think sometimes people aren't appreciating Ozzie this year because he's compared to what Dickerson
did. I think that's 1,000% on the money.
Yep.
All right, you didn't really answer the question. Who's the single best, or can you say?
We got Sutton, you got Nutt.
There you go.
We'll be right back. Downtown Laurel, Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Eagle Hour in the heart of beautiful downtown Laurel. We're on the yard outside Laurel Mercantile. If you missed that interview with Billy Oldham, go back and listen to it. The Friday night, according to Bob Getty's stellar research, the Friday night starter for this coming weekend's game against Lafayette. Appreciate Billy's time. You can go back and listen on demand at supertalk.fm or catch the Eagle Hour in podcast form. Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Audible. Or, Will, what can you do? You can just ask Alexa.
You can ask Alexa, or in my case, I asked Siri the other day, when I was riding down the road, and it pulled it because I had it subscribed on my Apple Podcast.
So Siri knows who we are.
Siri
now.
Knows who we are.
Usually, she says, "I can't do that right now."
But right. Most of the time, she tells me that, but she played it.
There we go. Happy to be in downtown Laurel. Join now with Chris Tullis, the director of the Chamber of Commerce for the Jones County EDA. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Appreciate you having me.
It is a beautiful day in City Beautiful, and there is a whole lot going on. We're joking, Chris. We've become used to it, but Bob Getty, he lives in Hattiesburg, and all these people walking around, and then you start looking at cars, and there's all 50 states are represented. It's still...
And even some out of the country.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people coming
Oddly
here.
Oddly enough, yes.
Yeah. It's wild, isn't it? And you're, you know, all of us know this has been going on for almost 20 years with the revitalization of downtown Laurel, but Laurel being in the national spotlight for almost a decade, it's still just kind of weird, isn't it?
It really is, you know, kind of poking at Bob being from Hattiesburg, but used to, that's one of the ways we used to say, hey, yeah, Laurel, that's about 30 miles north of Hattiesburg, about a half south of Jackson.
Mm-hmm. And now they're like, oh, you mean... You're from Hattiesburg? That's near Laurel, isn't it? That's what people said. We say this as a Texas car drives up. I parked next to an Iowa license plate a few minutes ago. But let's talk about the chamber and what's going on. And let's just start in a couple weeks. Huge event. I grew up going to this, still do. I'm signed up for the 5K. Any personal medical assistants out there can follow me as I jog through downtown Laurel. Day in the Park coming up.
Yes, always a great event, and for those listening, you will not see me running on purpose, so I will not be doing
That's
that.
That's right.
But no, Dayton Park's always a great event. It brings in locals, like you said, has been for years. It was packed out then, but now it's a great way to bring in outside vendors and tourists that come in, want to check it out, and they get to see the community that Laurel really is.
It's always a special day with the artwork from the students, and then just all the vendors, and me and you like the food at Day in the Park.
Well, we love the food. Well, my oldest son was really big into art just a couple of years ago, and so it's always fun when you get down there where they've got all the art set up, and you see the kids looking to try to find theirs, and that they beam with pride, and to see tourists walking through say, wow, you've got kids that are this talented?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really good. So, I mean, Day in the Park is a whole lot of fun. You're going to have just a plethora of things to eat, Chris, and entertainment going to be going on.
Music in the afternoon.
Yeah, booths, go spend your money.
Now you're not from Laurel, originally from Vicksburg, but you've been here 2 decades.
Yeah.
And so you are a Laurelite now. And that, though, even from the outside – again, it's one of those things that I don't think people realize how special Day in the Park really is.
No, it's really hard to put in words. I mean, even when I first moved down here, I was hearing about Day in the Park, and that's before the explosion that is Laurel now hadn't happened yet.
Right.
But you go there, I mean, it was like, wow, okay, there's something to do here on the first Saturday of May, no doubt. And, you know, this one's going to be kind of a special one, too. I'm actually going to be partaking in the ribbon cutting that morning at Day in the Park. We're going to cut the ribbon for the amphitheater project.
Wow.
It's a Leadership Jones County project through the foundation, through the EDA, that raised some money to make that park just a little bit better.
It is, and it's one of those. It's a natural amphitheater with the hill, but that project is going to make it so much better. So Day in the Park, and we're visiting right now with Chris Tullis, the director of Chamber of Commerce. Big picture, though, there's been some huge stuff happened over the last couple of years, and the potential, Chris, also with some acreage that is available and some projects from government funding to really continue to make Laurel a magnetic place for businesses to invest in.
Absolutely. We've been very, very fortunate. We've had the land. We've been very active in getting out there. The Mississippi Development Authority has helped out tremendously. The state legislature, getting money to where we can have these sites shovel ready. That's how we landed great industry, Coaling Logistics. Last July, had the ribbon cutting there, groundbreaking. And they're on pace to where they should open up around June. That's going to bring more jobs, put more tax roll to help us all out. And, you know, people see the potential that is Laurel and Jones County. And it, you know, of course, we're kind of joking around here about we have the tourism. Yes, but we've got the good infrastructure. We've got the blue-collar workers that make this manufacturing hub really work.
And you talked about, you threw a phrase out just a minute ago, the land is ready. you know, or it's shovel ready. Right. I think the average person may not understand what that is. Unpack that a little more for us.
Absolutely. It's a great question, because when you think, it's like, you look around, it's like, oh, yeah, there's land everywhere. But these companies, when they're looking to relocate or to expand, whatever they're wanting to do, the biggest thing to them is time is money. So the speed to market is what they're looking for. So the only way that happens is that means we've got to have land that has already been cleared. Do you have utilities that can get to it? Can you get water? All of that is such a big thing, and that's what Mississippi has been investing in, and the Jones County EDA has been all over what can we do to have it ready to when these companies are going around saying, hey, look, we've got it narrowed down between you, maybe a couple other cities in Mississippi or several other states. How are you better? Well, let me show you. You're able to get started quickly and get to work and start. Well, you know, it's about that the bottom line, that dollar. So, and we're very fortunate to be on the cutting edge of all of that. And it's it's definitely a testament to several organizations. You've taken each municipality with Ellisville and Laurel, Jones County Board of Supervisors, and the state all working together to make this happen.
Chris, I get emails every Monday about the things going on with the chamber and things like that. There's ribbon cuttings left and right with development and new businesses here, either downtown or anywhere around in Jones County. That's a big deal, and to be a part of that, you're at every ribbon cutting, so you stay busy with that. What's your favorite part about seeing that happen?
You know, there's a couple. I tell you, when you're taking a look at especially the smaller businesses, the people who have invested their heart and soul into this, and they're finally seeing this thing to come to fruition.
Yeah.
And to see that they have people come out, support them, rally behind them, man, that makes me feel really good to be a part of that, be front and center with them, and help support them along the way. And then, you know, you take even look at the larger businesses. Got a thing this afternoon at 4:30 with Community Bank. Their seventh location here in Jones County, and they knew they needed to be downtown Laurel.
Yeah.
And they're taking a great building, got it revitalized back to its former splendor. And, you know, that, again, that's one of those things you look at and you're like, all right, there's a lot of pride in this community for the right reason, and it's wonderful to be part of that.
I had somebody joke to say, yeah, we're thankful that bank's downtown because I got tired of using all the other ATMs, you know. So,
yeah.
But it's one of the, you know, but the point was there is so much going on downtown. There are so many vendors. We have, you know, we had Crawfish Fest, and of course, the Thursday night, where everybody comes down. Farmer's Market.
Farmer's Market.
What's come to my mind. Then we'll have the movie nights in June. You'll look up and, you know, it'll be time for Loblolly. You know, it's just, it is amazing how, all those things were in play, you know, before, really the tourism hit. And I think, This is a realistic, because I'm really good friends. Josh Nowell is one of my best friends, and so the joke that he always says is, you know, how do we keep a business going when the tourism's not here, you know, a decade from now,
that's
as
right.
much as it is now. And I think, Chris, that's one of the things that people around here are asking, and they have to continue to ask. Man, tourism's great. But Laurel was something before it, and you know what? We will be something after it. And I think people are finding out that it's not just a place to come when you're in the national spotlight. I mean, it's a great place to live overall.
Absolutely. Laurel has its own brand. And what the tourist has done from, of course, watching the show, you come here, but then you get to discover it. And then you understand, like, okay, wait, this is resilient people that they watch out for each other. They take care of them. It is that Southern hospitality that everybody sees on TV and that community. There's a whole lot of authenticity to all of this. And so as Laurel's building that brand, and that's what's going to carry it through, is this, it's not for TV. It's not for show.
That's right.
These are real people.
I've been encouraged when people have come here. And so naturally somebody said, well, you know, did you see us on television? And they say, man, we didn't even know anything about it until we got here. I was talking to somebody yesterday. They were sitting in Trustmark Park and they just came here, and it was what you just said. They sat here, they spent a few days here, not knowing anything about the national spotlight, and just said, hey, we want to live here. We want to live in a place like this.
Absolutely.
Chris, thanks for your time, man. Thanks for all that you do for our community, and appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
It's Chris Tullis, the director of the Chamber of Commerce for the Jones County EDA. We'll step aside as we are live in downtown Laurel. News and notes as the Eagle Hour continues on a Tuesday.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment of the Eagle Hour on the road today. We are in downtown Laurel, just outside Laurel Mercantile on the yard. Good stuff with Chris Tullis from the Chamber of Commerce for Jones County. Some news and notes tonight. Ladies softball, Coach Natalie Poole's troops are in Oxford, the home of one Ozzie Pratt, right, Bob? But
yes.
a sign of things to come, if you don't mind mentioning that.
We're going to have that interview later this week, and Ozzie's going to make a comment about being from Oxford and now living in Hattiesburg that every Golden Eagle in the country is going to love.
Yeah.
Really, really going to enjoy that. Women's tennis. By the time we come on air tomorrow, they will have already taken on Arkansas State in the first round of the Sun Belt Championship. So good luck to the ladies tomorrow as they are taking on Arkansas State. Baseball tonight, 6:30 at Tulane in New Orleans. Turchin Field right there on Claiborne Avenue, on Carrollton, I should say. Carrollton in Uptown New Orleans. J.B. Middleton. And I didn't get your take on that, Bob. Your thoughts of Middleton starting tonight?
Well, I was a little surprised to hear that. It makes me think that they're continuing to search for answers in the pitching staff. JB's thrown the ball really hard. At times, I think he's thrown it a little flat. I think you would agree with that. But we'll see. You know, he's had some really good outings, and he certainly has the velo if you know, if he can master the other aspects of pitching, Luke, to be as lethal.
He's got wipeout stuff, and it'll be interesting to see what he does tonight. All right, yesterday I told you men's golf was tied for – they were somewhere 11th yesterday, but they were only a couple shots out. They finished the day tied for 5th. Right now they are 5th at the Sun Belt Championships, but they are only 2 strokes out of 3rd place. Robbie Ladder on the day today, 3 under. Pat Ratatayanan, Kelly knows how to pronounce his name, always struggle with it. He's 1 under. Ryan Dupuy, 1 over. The Eagles making a charge here, and as Eddie Brescher told us, I think it's the top 4 teams after 3 days. They go to kind of a head-to-head match play on Thursday. So Golden Eagles making a run today up in Annandale. So anyway, downtown Laurel, you pointed out to me the tourist pulling up here and people taking pictures, and
it's amazing. I got to thank both you guys. You guys are from here. I started my TV career here. My oldest child was born here, and my wife and I, and our at that time baby, lived 5 wonderful years here in Laurel, and it is truly amazing to see what's happened here.
Oh yeah,
and it's something that you really couldn't describe. People would have to come see it for themselves. You guys see it every day.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm over here pretty frequently, but I'm just – there has been a steady stream of clearly tourists here the entire time we've been here.
Yeah, since 9 o'clock.
But the best part about it is the seat that I have in our WLAU studio. It's that storefront glass. The best part about it is seeing the different license plates go by, and Ben can attest to this. We love watching people try to parallel park on Central Avenue.
That's a fun game we like to play.
It's a whole lot of fun.
Making sure they don't hit the Jeep like I.
But thankfully, though, for tourists' sake, it's not one way anymore.
No,
that's true.
Bob, before they did the downtown project, it was one way.
Oh, that was bad.
And multiple times a day, tourists would not realize that it was a one way. And so they would be going on a one way street against traffic the absolute wrong way.
It's human nature if you live somewhere to begin to take your surroundings for granted.
I think that's human.
Do you find yourself doing that here, Luke?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the other day, Sunday night, hometown was on, and so Lauren was in the kitchen doing something. I was sitting there. I was like, hey, come here. Like, where is this? And, like, we were, you know, I was just like, oh, that's 7th Avenue, or, you know, that's 13th Street. I rode by there today, you know. So it is. I think the biggest thing that people need to realize, both these guys can speak to it, is that I said it to Chris long before all of this happened. There were people that were trying to, with nobody knowing and nobody seeing, trying to invest in their town.
And I think one person that doesn't get a lot of credit, but if you ask anybody who was in the projects down here working, Josh Nowell, any of them, Judy Holyfield, who used to be, you know her, who used to be the director of the Main Street, she was kind of the spearhead down here. She doesn't get a ton of credit, but she was kind of the spearhead long before.
For no other motivation than level my town.
Just wanted to make it a better place.
She wanted to make it a better place.
Yeah.
So it was really, really exciting to see it happen, and it obviously it skyrocketed, you know, Caroline said. So.
And we have a lady walking up wanting to know. You want to know where the wood shop is? Just go right down here,
right down there.
Follow the railroad track. It's probably about 200 yards, and you'll see the wood shop.
Absolutely.
Welcome to Laurel. Where are you from?
South Carolina.
You're from South Carolina. Welcome to Laurel, Mississippi.
They
rode the train. There we go.
We called it. The Amtrak stop. There you go.
Welcome to downtown Laurel.
Yeah. Enjoy yourself, man. Oh, there you go. What better testimony. All right, that wraps up Super Talk Eagle Hour from downtown Laurel. I want to thank our good sponsors today, Jones County Board of Supervisors, Jones College, Howard Industries, Hellfighters USA, South Central Regional Medical Center. They made today's event possible, and we are grateful to them for that. We're actually on the road again tomorrow.
We're
Genesis of Hattiesburg. Back in Hattiesburg. Until then, we'll talk to you then. And until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.